That's smooth. And guess what? You've just tuned in to Tether Radio Untethered number 37. I hope that you've got your stretchy pants on, because I know the fuck I do. I'm in the studio today with Allie and Larry.
Yeah, we're here. We're live.
And we're about to get spoopy.
Spoopy.
Yeah, man. So for the month of October, we've decided spoopy is the only thing we want to be. So
are you purposely saying spoopy?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Have you not been on the weird parts of the internet?
Yeah,
it's
right.
The whole thing.
Apparently not.
Let me get you in the mood.
Spoopy for me.
Let me get you in the mood.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, we should just like...
Just in the background, but like real quiet.
Yeah, just real quiet on a loop. Just play this entire time.
Dude, I would go to sleep...
That would make me stop listening to an episode.
I would go to sleep listening to this shit, and then I'd be like, oh my God. I can't sleep now. So, yeah, so what we decided for the month of October was that we were going to give some good recommendations for movies, books, TV shows, I don't know, whatever came across our...
Games? Don't you have some games?
I do have some games. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because I had a request from old Matt.
Yeah.
Matt was like, dude, what about some spooky games?
Hell yeah.
And I realized... Yes, actually, I played a lot of horror
games. Video games or like board games?
Sorry, video games.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, oh, that's a good point. I don't know. You can't really make a spooky board game, can
Ouija.
You? Yeah.
Dude, that's a good Ouija's point. My brand. I keep buying Ouija stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
which I have to give Allie 100% credit. Never knew that the little thing was called a planchet.
Yeah.
And I was like, she said something about like, oh yeah, the blah, 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 planchet. And I was like, the what?
What's the origin of that word?
I don't know.
I don't think I know that word.
Mm. I don't know that I've ever heard it outside of Ouija.
Mm.
I'm sorry. It is it's from the French for little plank.
Oh, that's too cute.
That's too cute.
Put that thing away.
It is a small board supported on casters, typically heart-shaped and fitted with a vertical pencil used for automatic writing and in seances. So I guess that's pretty specific.
Okay. Automatic writing
and
or seances.
It's like, okay.
There's a big-ass fucking gap between them.
It's like applying for a job. Yeah, I was a cook at Denny's, but I also piloted the fucking rocket that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of buried the lead. No, I think about automatic writing, I think they mean supernatural automatic.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
There's some spooky board games. We played
Clue.
Donner Dinner Party one time.
Wait, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Donner Dinner Party. It's one of those that's kind of like Secret Hitler or like it's like the same concept.
Thing.
Yeah. It's same
really
sort of concept as that. Well, it's like based.
I don't think it's based
on the Donner Party. What is creepier?
I just don't think that board games can be creepy except for like a Ouija board when you're like a teenager,
right?
Or unless you're an adult in a cemetery, drunk as shit.
I'm just gonna go ahead and say this. So we're currently reading the book for book club, Head Full of Ghosts by Paul Tremblay,
mm-hmm.
And it's about a 14-year-old girl that supposedly is possessed.
Everything,
and I'm going to reiterate this, everything that I have like seen and like it has just been drilled into my head. If you are living in a house full of girls, and honestly, as soon as I said this, Matt M, brother, I'm sorry, because he is living in a house of girls. I just feel like when they get to like teenage years, it's some weird energy, dude. It really is.
Bad juju.
It's some weird energy.
Yeah.
I think that men are too simple for that shit. And I'm
no, I think the amount that I overthink stuff now,
yeah,
cannot hold a candle to how much I overthought stuff as a teenager. Yeah. Like, I just told Larry the other day, I was like, if Spotify was a thing when I was in high school, yeah, I would obsessively be like, what's he listening to now? What's he listening to? What's it mean? What's he listening to now? What are the lyrics? What's it mean? Yeah. He listened to it twice today. What's it mean? Like, I mean, dude,
as teenagers, and obviously I'm trying to think back way too far, slept a lot, drank a lot, other things.
did not sleep enough, you mean?
Well,
drank too much, did not sleep enough.
Yeah. Sure. But the point was, is it was like, oh my God. The deepest conversations were like, did you see like so-and-so? She looked pretty hot today.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's get drunk and good night later. Like that was like a deep conversation for like high school dudes. So anywho.
You obviously get stoned in high school. So I didn't.
No, believe it or not, I didn't. I started all my shit. Well, at like as I was leaving high school. So, okay. How do we want to do today? Do we want to start off with a book, a movie, or a game?
I'll go with
a
book.
Okay.
So Chuck Wendig, he wrote Wanderers a couple years ago. It came out, and I loved it. It's 800 pages.
Oh, and my God.
No.
That's a book and
I
a half.
Was for real. I was like, I never want this book to end. It was so fucking good. Really? It was about, like, a plague. It was right before COVID, so thank God. But, it was like...
Wait, does he know something we don't?
Man, it felt like... Because when COVID hit, I was like, oh, fuck this. I read this book. Yeah. But it was so good. And it was seriously like 800 pages. And I was like, I would have read 1,000. Like, yeah, please bring me more. I don't know. But
damn, that's an Edgar Allan Poe fucking novel. Or no, Stephen King.
Stephen King. Dude, yeah.
It's one of my favorite books of all time. It was
that's like
so...
200 short of the stand.
Yeah. But anyway, Wanderers was awesome. Highly recommend it. But what I'm recommending is he has a new book called The Book of Accidents, and it came out this summer, and I was so pumped I bought it, and I haven't even cracked it open because I'm the worst and I keep buying books and not reading them. But turns out it's spooky, so maybe it'll be great for right now. So
what's it about?
Goodreads said, summarize your novel in a couple of sentences. And he said, a family moves out of the city back to the father's childhood home, and there they discover the house is haunted by both the trauma the father suffered there as well as the ghost of his abuser.
You see, okay, that's a common thing in movies and books. What? It's like, you have the family that comes from the big city.
Like generational trauma or something.
Comes from the big city and then they go back to a secluded town.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then all of a sudden, like, all this shit starts happening.
Yeah.
Well, he said there's also the mother's...
It's bad juju.
Oh, yeah.
You do not go back. Once you leave, you leave your hometown, you do not go back.
Yeah.
Further, the mother's artwork gains life of its own and the son meets a new friend who claims to possess dark magic. Hi, your friend can't come to the house. The house is already haunted. Yeah. Brian can't come over.
Yes.
It would be so a they encounter a world that seems to be breaking down around them as evil closes in.
Mm.
Hell yes.
Yeah, dude.
It's
rock and roll.
I'm pumped. I'm excited for that.
It's also
hugely long. Like, it's probably like 700 pages or something. What is my man's problem? But they're so good.
He has a lot
such
to say.
Long-winded duder.
He has like a blog that he posts to all the time.
Is he like really descriptive on everything? Is that why it's so long?
No.
Or does the story just like get carried out?
Does it actually like
cruise?
If you
read Wanderers, like so much stuff happens and there's so many main characters that like you're following several different storylines. And you're just like waiting on them to all come together. But
is it confusing?
No,
like the different storylines?
No, he did it really well. And every chapter of Wanderers started with some sort of news clip that was fake, tweet that was fake, Reddit post that was fake, that was about the world breaking down. And I'm like, good God, did you have a time machine?
The weird thing about this is like just as a random nugget of knowledge that I have in my head. Books that get converted into movies. So, like, you have a 1,000-page book. Movies are usually like a 100-page script.
Well, you absolutely can't get every scene of a book into a movie and it be a 2-hour movie. Like,
So it's like you condense 1,000 pages of a novel into 100 pages.
Honestly, it was like Dr. Sleep. Like I read Dr. Sleep. Loved it. Stephen King.
Yeah.
He's just a long-winded motherfucker.
He is, man.
But
get to the fucking point, dude.
Yeah, well, no, and honestly, but then, like, they adapted it into this movie, and it was like, in my opinion, all of the things that mattered, they, like, slacked on kind of thing. And I was just like, oh, man, come on. Because, like, it was all right. It was serviceable. But I mean, like, if you compare, so Dr. Sleep was kind of seen as the sequel to The Shining.
Yeah, I think it's presented as that. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was a follow-up for Danny Torrance, which was the son. In,
wait, The Shining, or I thought Dr. Sleep was Silence of the Lambs.
No, sorry.
Silence of the Lambs is a totally different author.
You're thinking of like Red Dragon. Dude, when you look at Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, like, this is what
you can't
really
hold a candle to that.
What I really appreciate about like Stanley Kubrick and versus Stephen King. Stephen King writing the book The Shining. Was fucking amazing. It was so
creepy. I loved
that
book so much that I have put off watching the movie.
I don't blame you. Like, no, because it's completely lacking compared to the book.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. It is, if you kind of compartmentalize it.
Sure.
Dude, the movie is amazing in its own like fucking way, because Stanley Kubrick was crazy. Yeah. Period. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sorry, but watch some of his movies and tell me he ain't fucking crazy. So I don't even know where I was going with that. But I think I was talking about like Dr. Sleep, how I don't know. I'm just like fucking
You're woo, welcome.
Woo woo. Anywho, did you have anything else to say about yours?
That was it.
Okay,
that was
I'm
it for
sorry.
That one. No.
I'm going to just go into this video game that was actually, it is really, really amazing. And the best part about it is if you have access to one of these consoles, this is actually a PlayStation 4 game. So if you have the older consoles and stuff, not older, but last generation consoles, I think it is only PlayStation, though, so sorry all you Xbox peeps out there. It's called Until Dawn, and it's like a horror novel game that it has what's known as quick time events, so that, like, you are this group of early 20s maybe.
Yeah.
Going up to this like cabin lodge kind of thing or whatever. And you're going for this like reunion because one of your really good friends lost his two sisters. They died. And then all this super creepy shit starts happening because it's like this secluded area that like there's a bad snowstorm and all this stuff. And man, I'm telling you, you turn the lights off, you fucking play this shit. And it is, I actually didn't even play a whole lot of it. I got Megan to play it because I just wanted to like fucking watch.
Yeah.
And like Megan gets super bored with video games. Yeah. But when her ass is on the line, she's like all into it.
Have you or her ever played the Resident Evil games?
Oh my God, dude. I believe Resident Evil 7. Mm-hmm. Holy hell. That was another recommendation I was going to give. The only reason I wasn't going to do it is because it was like pretty popular.
But
at the same time,
a lot of
time,
jump scares in that.
Dude, you know. It's great. Sure. It is quite possibly one of the better, like, top three Resident Evil games. So, but yeah, man, I was saying, Until Dawn, PlayStation, dude, it is really, really good for any peeps out there that want to check out a game. So, but yeah, and it's low barrier for entry. You don't have to know how to play video games and shit. You literally have to know how to use a controller in the sense of moving a character around and pressing a button to like pick shit up. that's literally it. So, and it's really, really fun. So, you want me to do a movie or
what? I got plenty of books. I'll go back to a book.
All right.
Okay. There's one that I keep seeing that I think is kind of indie. Like, I don't think it's like super, super popular. Like, it's not published by like a huge publishing house. Mm. It's called The Grip of It, and okay, it's by, first name is Jack, J-A-C. The last name is J-E-M-C. Jimk?
Jimk. Jack Jimk?
Excuse me? I don't even know.
Let's just call him JJ.
Sure.
JJ.
So this says, a chilling literary horror novel about a young couple who purchase and live in a haunted house. I don't really even like haunted house stories. I realize that's two in a row.
Dude, okay.
But this one's like so, like, people love it.
What's up with white people and just fucking finding out that a house is haunted? I'll buy it.
Time out. Okay. So correct me if I'm wrong. Would you consider yourself to be Hispanic?
Yeah.
I'm completely joking. You guys don't believe in ghosts?
Wait, no.
You guys have a whole Day of the Dead.
Listen.
Two people.
Thank you.
Yes, but...
Dia de Muertes,
yes,
right?
But you have to understand, like, I'm an atheist. Like, I believe in nothing, so...
So you don't think there is an afterlife at all?
No.
I mean, that doesn't even have to do with a god.
No.
No?
No.
So you think you die and it's just over?
Yeah, my personal belief is like you just die.
That's so what it. Are you scared of?
What am I scared of?
Yeah. Like pain?
Dying and no longer existing?
The only part of death that scares me is dying in a situation where my son cannot take care of himself.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's fair.
That's it.
Yeah.
Other than that, it doesn't scare me.
Hmm. Okay.
So, like, if, like, we're at home alone.
Damn, you're no fun. I'm just fucking with you, man. Come over. We'll watch The Conjuring and I've watched
all of those. Like.
You know what? All right. I see what's happening. I've just folded my arms. No. Jump scares are pussy scares.
No, jump scares do get me every now and then.
What?
But I can still, like, go to bed after watching them.
No, I want to show you something that creeps you the fuck out after you leave.
It's his butthole. He wants to show you his butthole.
Allie.
Sorry. I'm the Thunder Stealer.
Thunder Stealer. Anyway.
He's going to show me his collection of... what it was, his butthole, the chocolate covered buttholes.
No!
have you ever heard of Monster? No, I'm just. It's like a running joke. Anyway.
Okay, so the grip of it, the cover is really creepy looking. It looks like it's like hand drawn by somebody that's psycho.
Uh huh.
I love it.
Right? I do too. I love it. And it's always super cheap. Like right now on Kindle, it's $2.99, but it's rated really low because I think people either love it or hate it, which averages out to be low. But
have you read it?
I've not read it. I keep meaning to, but so you know how I do. It just
so
sounds
did somebody,
cool. Like,
okay,
I've
so
just seen
just
it recommended for a few years. Like it came out in 2017, and okay, I feel like I've seen it ever since.
Cool.
But it's an enthralling, psychologically intense novel with creepy, potent prose.
Mm-hmm.
And it deals in questions of home, how we make it, and how it in turn makes us, mapping itself onto bodies and the relationships we cherish. Hmm. Sounds pretty creepy.
Cool.
I don't know. Sounds cool.
All right. So I have a movie this round. So Megan and I actually watched this one. I don't know. I think last week. And this, I believe. I don't think this is actually the right synopsis. Now that I look at this, maybe it is.
Anyway, this is a great time to tell you about our sponsor.
Yeah, right. I guess it is.
Is it?
Maybe they just, no, here we go. Holy hell. My apologies. So,
we're there now though.
The problem is the horror genre, there are so many movies that are named identical titles.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that
yeah.
It's like this one's called Black Christmas. Well, there was apparently a 2019 movie called Black Christmas. That's not the one that I was looking for. This basically is came out in 1974. And this created the trope of oh, there's a phone call. Let's trace it. It's coming from upstairs, kind of thing.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Yes. And so I know it's probably been overdone a zillion times, but this was like one of the first.
Yeah.
And
if it's the original, then yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily the original, but it's got to be like right at the beginning.
Yeah.
The cool thing about this was like, man, and even to this, I've seen the movie twice at this point, maybe three times. And it still creeps me out because the voice on the phone is like, it's still, it's a landline, so it's not super clear.
Something about a landline is always creepy.
Yeah. And like, and he's like, and he's like making all these noise.
Wait, is it a high squeak?
And he's like, oh, well, fuck you, and then like, high and then he's like
is
screaming
it a high squeaky
like,
voice?
Say what?
Is it a high squeaky voice?
No, no. That's he's
why
like
does that sound
it's
like
this
Henry
it sounds like a
podcast.
Crazy. Yeah. But no, it sounds like this crazy person on there that just like I'm not going to lie.
It's just unsettling.
It's very unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's one of these things that like people start like going missing and like I don't want to say too much because I don't if anybody like actually checks it out.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it away. But man, it's actually a really solid movie. You do have to take into consideration that in the 70s they actually believed in like plot development, and I mean not to hate on like current movies, but like,
what a time to be alive, right?
but it's one of these things that I feel like horror movies these days people are like if there's not like a head exploding every like I don't know 5 minutes then people are like. I'm checking my Instagram.
Yeah.
You know? We're desensitized, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
So you
we
have to
are
go
a generation
in.
Of the fucking jump scare, like through the internet.
Don't include me in this. I've decided that I was born at like basically 45 years old and
don't
I'm just waiting to be that
don't
old.
Don't tell me that you never watched that video on the internet back in the day of that winding road and then
oh
all of a sudden
God.
The bitch popped up on the screen.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
dude.
Yes.
You basically had a heart attack.
Yeah. But it's a really good slasher that it completely puts the spotlight on like a really good horror trope.
Yeah.
Black Christmas came out in 74. Check it out. I know my buddy in the know pirated this shit for us to watch. So it is available that way. Don't know how he got it, but you can also buy a copy probably for like I would guess for like $10 on like Amazon or something, and it's worth owning. So it for anybody out there that's still into fucking physical media, which I'll show myself
it's
out.
Just you.
Anywho, I'm gonna volley it back to you.
So this is not really my brand because it's cutesy and that's not my brand.
So here's Jennifer's body.
Megan and I watched that.
Okay, so there's this book.
Of course
that
we did.
They picked this out for Book of the Month, and it got so much. Like, everybody is like, this is what I picked. I'm like, I should rejoin Book of the Month. Fuck. But I just bought it off Amazon. But it's called The X Hex, and it's super cutesy looking. It's got like a witch riding a broom in front of a moon, but like very like cartoony. It's really cute looking.
Yeah.
It's by Aaron Sterling, which is a pen name, but like the lady didn't try to pretend that it's not her pen name. She's just writing under two names. It is a spine tingling romance full of wishes, witches, and hexes gone wrong. So 9 years ago, the main character got broken up with and she got drunk and sad and took a bubble bath and put a curse on her horrible boyfriend. And she was like, nah, I'm not really great at magic. But apparently she is, and it really cursed him, and he shows back up in town 9 years now in the present.
Yeah.
And, like, all the shit goes wrong once he starts turning up in town. So she's like, suddenly their small town is under attack from murderous wind-up toys, a pissed-off ghost, and a talking cat with some interesting things to say. Wait. And the two of them have to ignore their off-the-charts chemistry. Yeah.
That's a lot to unpack right there. So
there's, like, this whole trope of enemies to lovers, which is, like, what it sounds like. Sure. Like, it's, like,
is this
these
Sabrina
two people,
the Teenage Witch?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. But they have to work together and save the town and break the breakup curse before it's too late. Ooh. It sounds really cute.
Ooh, nice.
Also, at the time of recording this, Amazon is doing a 3 for the price of 2 deal. And I hate them for that. They do that, especially on books and movies and stuff.
Yeah.
So buy 2, get 1 free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They word it different.
A simple way to fucking do it.
Oh, dude, you know Bezos. He's got time enough to go up into space. So he's got time enough to like text out a fucking like deal like that.
Anytime they do a 3 for 2 deal, I'm like, I have 40,000 unread books that I don't need any books. I'm like, I could get 3 for the price of 2, though. Every time it gets me. So I got that. And House of Leaves that I recommended last week was on that deal, too. So I was like, all right,
Are we still going?
It was a few hours ago. I couldn't find an end date on when the sale ends.
But you said that a physical copy of that's pretty much like... Wait, are you talking about this is a
physical? Yeah, the House of Leaves. Oh, okay. Physical copy of it. Paperback was like 15 or 18.
Yeah.
Something reasonable because hardback was like 35.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't like the hardback anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so that and House of Leaves was also on there.
Gotcha.
And the other book I'm about to recommend last.
All right. Yeah. All right. All right. So I'm going to do a real quickie. The Evil Within, another video game. I believe this is actually on, this is on all the consoles. So. And they also have an Evil Within 2, which I'm actually going back a little bit because this one, the first one was 2014. This one, the latest iteration, Evil Within 2, is from 2017. This game centers on protagonist Sebastian Castellanos as he's pulled through a distorted world full of nightmarish locations and horrid creatures. Played in third-person perspective, players battle disfigured, nightmare-like creatures, including bosses using guns and melee weapons, and progress through the levels, avoiding traps, using stealth, and finding collectibles. So, sounds like pretty, I don't know, low-key and stuff, but dude, the way that it's framed, it is, I'm trying to think of what I would compare it to. It is just, they do a really good job. As I've gotten older, sound has been a really, really big, not issue, but like, if sound design for either a video game or a movie is like super on point, then it can either make or break something for me. This fucking game, have not played the second one. I own it. I will be playing through it. But the first one, it is really, really creepy. Actually, I would liken it to Resident Evil, and specifically Resident Evil 7, like we were talking about, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. I believe that's 7. But they just do a really, really fucking good job of giving like an entire package of like lighting and like sound and just like it's not super complicated gameplay. Let me put it that way. It's very approachable for somebody that's not super big into whatever gaming, third person, first person, whatever, doesn't matter. It's very, very creepy. Plus, I believe you can toggle like difficulty down to the point to where It's almost like story mode.
Okay.
So
playable for me.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just run through it.
Great. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm going to do real quick one quick movie. It's called The Djinn, DJINN.
I've heard of that.
It was really good. It was good. It was really creepy. Super short synopsis. This actually came out this year, which I didn't realize that, but I guess I watched it earlier this year. A mute boy becomes trapped in his apartment with a sinister monster after making a wish to fulfill his heart's greatest desire. So he makes this, it's almost like a, I don't want to compare it to the monkey's paw. I don't know. Do you guys know the monkey's paw?
Vaguely.
No, but I know what a gin is.
Okay, yeah.
I know
what
a gin is because I played Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, there you go. But it's almost like one of these things that like, oh, you're going to wish for this thing and your wish is going to be granted, but it's in a fucking very terrible way.
Well, so. from what I understand, gins don't really grant your wishes. They put you into like a coma. And it's like a whole imaginary thing in your head where you get to live your life that you wished for.
But it's not reality.
While they suck the life out of you in their life.
Ooh, maybe that's more into...
Do you guys know a gin that I can sign up with?
Keep looking at me, Allie.
Now, you can have it. I don't want this current life.
Now, this gin is the gin interpretation from Supernatural.
Okay.
I'm getting in front. Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. So about as realistic as Banjo-Kazooie, probably.
Yeah. But yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Checks out.
Banjo-Kazooie was such a good game.
That was amazing.
God, what a good game.
Yeah. I wish that they would release that shit.
I know.
Re-release that shit.
Like, I would pay whatever it costs on Switch.
I'm telling you, dude. Like, so, real quick fucking tangent.
A real quick tangent?
God damn it. So if you own a Switch out there and you like Mario games at all, this is completely off topic, but I think it's like the All-Star Collection that has Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy all in one package. Holy fuck. It has been super fun. I don't know. I couldn't go back to 64 because of the camera shit. Anywho, but Sunshine was super fun. Beat it. Working my way through Galaxy with Finn right now. And like, holy hell. It has been super fun and it has been worth every fucking penny. So,
anyway. Okay, wait. Banjo-Kazooie is coming to Switch in October. It is October.
It is October.
Oh my God.
All right, I'll be checking the release schedule on that.
It says that it's one of the games coming to the subscription service. I will be looking into this. Do you already have that?
Well, I've got Nintendo like Switch Online.
I do too.
It's a whole different thing.
Fuck you, Nintendo.
Okay, here I am reeling back in how I said I'd pay whatever it costs.
I know, right?
Not indefinitely as a subscription.
It's like having an Xbox Live account. But not paying for Game Pass.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Game Pass for Nintendo Switch.
I've got too many passes, too many games, too many, you know. But anywho.
Okay, the last one I have was another one that was on the 3-for-2 sale, but I was... it's what got me fucking started, because I looked to see how much it was, and I was like, there's a 3-for-2 sale? Fuck! Okay, so it's called The Violent Season by Sarah Walters, and it's young adult, which... I like a lot of young adult, and it's usually just a pretty easy fucking read.
We still have yet to figure out what young adult means.
It just means that it's, like, aimed at, like, teenagers, really. But it usually means it's a pretty easy reading level.
Yeah.
But it's not like a kid. You're not like, oh, I'm reading, like, so you're telling me I can read it. You could even read it.
God, dude. All right. What's the name of this book?
It's called The Violent Season.
No, because, like, honestly, I need one more for my violent? Accelerated reader list.
I need one more to get a
pizza.
I gotta get a free pizza from Pizza Hut.
Fuck yes.
Okay. My AR test.
Okay. Guys, back to being spooky, okay?
Okay, my bad.
There is something.
We can't help it.
Guys.
Yeah. Sorry.
There's something terribly wrong in Wolf Ridge. Every November, every teen is overwhelmed with a hunger for violence. At least that's the urban legend. Yeah. But it does sound pretty creepy. One of the guys' moms was brutally murdered last fall. Wait, that's a girl. Her first name's Wyatt. I'm sorry for assuming their gender. Wyatt is convinced that they...
Hey, you're preaching the choir.
Yeah, right? It's 2018 now.
If you don't quit with that, you're going to admit you think it really fucking is. Oh my God. I got to file my taxes. I'm like, what?
Coma?
I'm ahead on my taxes? Good. I'll put that away. Wyatt Green's mother was brutally murdered last fall. She's convinced that the November sickness plaguing Wolf Ridge isn't just a town rumor that everyone ignores. It's a palpable force infecting her neighbors.
Mm.
Also, I love that it's called Wolf Ridge, and it's pretty implied that it's probably werewolves. Yeah, werewolf, right? Yeah. Like, I love that. Basically, every past brutal act she can find from the town's past, car wreck, suicide, unnamed victims turning up in rivers. All her digging leads to nowhere, but it's just that there's a November sickness and it's real and no one will talk about it. So this, like, teenager is like, I'm going to figure this shit out. I'm going to find my mom's murderer, but nobody believes me. And it sounds pretty cool. And then the evidence starts to disappear and she's like, am I imagining everything? Like, is this sickness real or are the people here just bad?
Oh, yeah. The whole town is fucking gaslighting her then.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Shit, dude.
It sounds pretty cool, though.
That sounds like a town that has a secret. Also, I will totally loan you
it because I will probably read it, hopefully, in like a day this weekend. We will see.
I'm not going to lie. Two words. Prove it. Sorry. Sorry, that's all I got. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have given you guys plenty of things to do the rest of this week and over this weekend. I believe that our next one, is that going to be our last little soiree before
Hallows Eve?
We hang out too much because I'm like, I know he's going to say soiree. And you're like, soiree? And I'm like, we said soiree.
Damn it. No, okay, like...
The next one will be the last one that comes out. If we do an Untethered, then it'll be,
Ooh, that'll be on the 28th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, rock and roll. We'll have to get some good stuff. In between now and then, let us know what you guys thought. Let us know if you want some more games, if you want some more movies. We could probably come up with some TV shows also. I know for a fact, actually, I could come up with some TV shows.
Yeah,
some
series. I can too. I just had a week, so I wasn't prepared at all whatsoever. Hey,
I promise, preaching the choir. I got you, bro. Seriously, and we always have books because holy shit,
Allie is like, it's like the if McKay's was a person.
No, literally, I had a backlog of about. Anywhere between like 4 and 10 books. And then I met Allie, and I started hanging out with Allie a whole lot, and it went from 10 to 20 to like 50 to like, and I'm not kidding, dude. I bet I'm at like 75, close to 100 books at this point.
I cleaned up my to be read on Goodreads a few months back.
Yeah.
And I added something yesterday, and it was like number 407. I was like, "No,
what? Yes.
What?" Yeah.
And I'm like, sometimes I'll be like, "Did I add that?" And then I'll start reading about it, and I'm like, "Ah, oh, that does sound good." Oh, Allie recommended that one.
407 to be read.
That's with it it's, cleaned dude, up. That's like, if you picked one off my to be read, I can tell you about it.
That's not pages. That's books.
That's like shit that I actually want to read. And you guys ask why I don't watch movies. I can't get this far in the weeds with movies. I don't have time.
There's not enough hours.
There are. But anywho, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was like loudly drinking, surprisingly enough. So I was like, I didn't hear it.
No,
sorry.
Dude, we don't drink. We're sober.
What?
Remember?
What? Tell us how sober we are. You can send that to tetherradio@gmail.com. That's tetherradio@gmail.com. We're on all the socials. We've got the Facebook group Tether Radio After Dark, and it's great.
Which I am not an admin of, by the way.
Oh yeah, we should probably add you as an true. Admin.
Like honestly, that's because Allie and I were actually tossing it back and forth whether or not we want to throw your ass out of the group.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I am going to call you out because you've not ever, at least in the last like month that it reported, liked anything in the group. You've not had a like reaction to a single thing in the whole group.
Dude, I just like, I get on, you know when I've been on Facebook, because I have like, I like, yeah. I respond, I like, respond, laugh.
I randomly just like shitpost. Mm-hmm. I look at it every fucking day, but I'm just
and
like.
And then you delete it like we didn't all see it.
Yeah, I know. Like my foot picture that I put on
okay,
there.
Okay, I didn't see the foot picture.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did. I'm sad.
Repost.
Nope.
but anywho. We thank you guys for joining us once again. This was Untethered episode 37. And yeah, if you guys, whatever you guys want to hear, let us know, because like honestly, we want to serve it up hot. And so I just love that I could say shit and like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to say, so I know they don't know what I'm going to say. Yep. So, yep. Anywho, without further ado, we're going to have to sign off for today. Yes. This was Untethered, number 37. I'm Daniel.
I'm Allie.
And I'm Lee.
And we thank you for joining us right around a half hour. Hope you guys have a fantastic spoopy with two P's. Weekend. I'm looking at Larry. And check out the full episode on Monday. Take it easy, friendos.
Bye.
Bye.